Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hello and welcome to Apartment 4D, the podcast all about our favorite show, New Girl. I'm your host, Jill, here with my sister, Heather.
Hello.
And Joe.
Hello.
And we're here to discuss season 2, episode number 14, Pepperwood. What I love about this episode is you don't know now, but you find out later that Julius Pepperwood is with us to stay.
Yep.
Before we begin, we'll start with a feeling stick. I don't have anything. Joe, do you?
No, not this week. I haven't seen anything related to New Girl.
Okay, Heather?
I do not have a feeling stick.
I take it back. I actually do have a feeling stick. When Joe said that, it reminded me that on our Instagram, we've had a couple people, like, tag us or DM us, like, New Girl merch, like, stickers and shirts and stuff. And I wanted to say, if you're listening to this and you have a business like that, you should definitely tag us in a story, and we'll reshare that story because we're happy to share any cool New Girl stuff.
Oh, so if they make New Girl merchandise, we want to know.
Yeah, okay. Especially on Instagram. So they'll tag us in the story, and then I always try to reshare it. I mean, I don't stay on top of our Instagram 24 hours a day, but a story lasts for 24 hours, so I usually almost see it and reshare it. We're not asking for money or anything. Just we want to share your cool New Girl merch.
Well, you support us, so we want to support you.
Exactly. So that will get into the Netflix description, which is Nick suspects that one of Jess's night school students is hiding something. Meanwhile, Winston and Cece have an embarrassing encounter. I don't think this is a good description because I think meanwhile the roommates, you know, end up divulging the things that bother them about each other or something would have been better. But it mentions Winston by name. So, yeah.
That alone makes it good.
Guest stars from this episode. I only chose the main one, which is Nate Cordry, who plays Edgar. And Heather, I think you know one of the shows he's in.
I knew immediately. He played Christie's boss for a couple of seasons on Mom.
Nice.
But, I mean, he wasn't in every episode. It was arcs.
This is the serial killer?
Yeah, the serial killer.
Edgar.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was also in the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is created by the same creator of Gilmore Girls, so it's an important show to me.
Is that on HBO?
No, it's on, like, Amazon Prime,
oh,
I think.
Oh, okay.
And a couple other things. He had a really good list of shows and movies that he's been part of. So to start the episode, we're in the loft, and we find out that Cece's staying with the gang because the plumbing's out at her place, and Jess breaks into the kitchen announcing that she has a breakthrough with one of her students, and she's really excited, and she's doing a dance, and that's when they tell her to put a dollar in. Joe, you want to take it?
The annoyance bowl.
Right.
The annoyance bowl.
Which is right next to
the douchebag
jar.
Now, I have a question, because I've only seen the season once. Does the annoyance bowl stay?
It's the only time we ever see it.
Oh, it's the only time we ever see it.
I'm 99.9% sure.
Oh, okay.
Then we have a flashback of Jess being in her class, teaching them about imagery, and basically everyone in her class kind of being a disaster. Nick says, yeah, I'm a writer, and you can't teach someone to write. And in trying to describe what a writer does, can't find enough words to finish a sentence.
I have a question. What does Jess's mug say? I even put my glasses on. I couldn't read it.
Oh, I don't know. Did you catch that, Joe?
I did not.
Okay. If anybody knows, send me a gram. My sister will read it.
Yeah, I'll send you a gram.
I'm not on Instagram.
The funniest line that Nick had when they were talking about writers, he's like, writers don't read, we write.
Oh, I was dying. That's when he said that.
Yeah. So he just describes the story and gives it to Nick and says, you should read this. Yeah. And that's when he says that, which is amazing. Like, so ridiculous. Winston comes into the room and bumps into Cece, and I will just describe what happens as being a pogo, so I don't have to describe it anymore.
I'm uncomfortable with it. Oh, that's probably why I don't have notes.
Maybe.
I was uncomfortable.
And then everyone dramatically jumps out of his way so that they do not get pogoed.
But we learned through the story, pogo is not what we originally thought it was.
No, I was
thinking something else, like a pogo stick, if you know what
too.
I mean.
That's what I thought.
But it wasn't. Pogo was, I don't know what the acronym is, but it was some kind of symbolism for a trait that person has,
right,
or that, a deficiency or a flaw. Well,
that's what it turned into, because Winston turned it into that, and Schmidt very clearly said to him, you're using it in the wrong context. That's not what Pogo was just meant to be, what happened in the kitchen. That was Pogo is their shorthand for what he did in the kitchen with his body. Then from that, they talk about Jess, for example, being a know-it-all. But they weren't referring to it until a pogo, until Winston coined the phrase.
Oh, so pogo they didn't have a pogo for Cece.
Well, she doesn't live with them, so I think that's why they don't have a pogo for Cece.
But she was heard about it. She kept going, the way I say pants?
We're jumping ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're back in the loft, and Nick comes out and starts reading part of Edgar's story to everybody. He loves to stab and stab and stab. He's stabbing. And he says, this man's psychotic, you're not safe, and I'm going to investigate. And this is, I think, another clear indication of his feelings for Jess.
I think it's foreshadowing.
Yeah, but Jess is also going, oh, he talked in the third person. The first
person was writing
the third person. And then, well, that's kind of a run-on sentence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's stabby, stabby, stabby. That's repetitive.
Totally missing the disturbance.
Yeah, she was doing the critique of the paper.
The teacher mode.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's trying to say, oh, my gosh, this guy is, this is a symbolism of what this guy wants to do
sick
to you.
Sick individual.
Yeah. So Schmidt's in his room and Winston comes in. And he's like, with what happened this morning, do you think I need to apologize to her? Like, what's going on? And Schmidt accidentally goes, it's no big deal. You pogoed her. And he's like, pogoed? What's that? And he explains to him it's a shorthand for what happened that morning. And that's when Winston starts using it as if pogo means talking about your roommates behind your back about something they do that's annoying. And he says, you're the pogo king, and walks out. And you can see Schmidt's like, wait, what? I have a pogo?
Poor Schmidt.
And as we find out, goes to great lengths to find out what it is in a few scenes. Before that, poor Jess is in her class when Nick comes in a blue baseball cap and sunglasses. And was he wearing a coat? Was he wearing his
Like a jacket?
Jacket
I think.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Announces that he's Julius Pepper. Like, you never walk into a room like, I'm Jill Henderson. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
But he wants to be in the class because Jess is the best teacher of adults.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, he goes, I'm an ex-cop and ex-marine here to write fiction.
Yeah. I'm from Chicago. Name press pizza? No, thank you. I'm from Chicago. And then why does he have an accent? Like, he is from Chicago.
So he's
like elaborating.
He's mimicking actually an old SNL skit about the Bears. Yeah. So it was Norm from Cheers used to do this skit, I think, with Dan Aykroyd on Saturday Night Live. And that's whose voice he was imitating.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because that's kind of how Chicago people talk. They kind of have that accent, that Midwest accent.
Yeah, he does it well.
Yeah, it was funny.
So Edgar comes into the class and Jess says, it's okay, Edgar, when he says he was late. And I'll call him Julius for now. Julius Pepperwood jumps up to get next to him and sees he has a drawing of a stabbed deer with like blood gushing in his notebook. After the class ends, Jess is inviting and encouraging everyone to come to office hours, mentions that no one does, and Julius Pepperwood / Nick tries to steal a piece of paper out of the back pocket of Edgar's pants and his notebook, just tries to stop him from stealing it. They're like wrestling over it in front of Edgar, and eventually Nick does get the notebook, and it's just a really weird, uncomfortable scene. So now we're back at the loft and Schmidt wants to know his pogo and ask if he does it. Is it that he dances like a sneeze snake? And what he reminded me of is actually like those, when they have a car sale or someone's having a sale and they get those blow up dolls.
Oh,
not
those
dolls, blow up inflatables. Yeah. That's what that reminded me of.
Oh, I didn't get, now I see it.
Yeah. And he says in like, it's like a series of quick scenes. Is it his eyebrows? And he shaves his eyebrows off.
Yeah.
Thank God they're back in the next episode.
Yeah, they grew back fast and evenly.
So gross.
Yeah, that was disturbing.
Joe, you shave your eyebrows sometimes.
Yeah, but not like that.
Obviously.
Thank you.
That was on their makeup people, that was a good job they did.
Yeah, it looked like he really shaved him.
Yeah.
And they were so even, too.
Yeah. So Nick's in his room and Jess comes in and he's made a sort of diagram for investigating using her yarn. And she says, what's my one rule?
Oh. All that's going on. Yes. And she's upset about yarn.
She's not mad he tore up the guy's notebook, that he somehow has pictures of Edgar.
Yeah.
That he's had time to print and put on the board.
Those are probably on social.
Perhaps. And he says he's going to Edgar's house, and they get in an argument, and then she says, fine, I'm going to come too, so I can bail you out of jail. And he's like, well, I'll get there faster. And she's like, maybe we should ride together, like, for the environment?
For the environment. I wrote that down, too.
So she could have easily made sure he never went there.
Right. They're in a fight, and then it's like, oh, well, if we're going to the same place.
And then even more disturbing than the eyebrows is when Schmidt comes in the bathroom with a knife and says he's going to cut his mole off his face.
Oh, yeah. I didn't like that. See, there's a lot I didn't like in this episode.
And Winston tries to tell him, the worst isn't not knowing. The worst is knowing what your roommates are saying about you behind your back.
In Winston's case, yeah.
And Cece walks in with no reaction to the eyebrows, asks what's going on, hears what a pogo is, and says, oh, like your barnacle toenails? And now Schmidt knows his pogo. And I'm just going to say that that makes no sense to me because he seems like the type of guy who would get pedicures.
Perfect grooming. Yeah.
Yeah.
They should have, like, done something else.
I'm sure it's hard, because what are you going to pick about him?
The guy's perfect.
Well, actually, I mean, he has a douchebag jar, so his pogo would be his personality.
Oh, yeah. Or his eccentricities, like the suits.
Exactly.
Like, we drink every time you say the word suit.
So Cece wants to know her pogo, and she thinks it's the way that she says the word. Heather?
Pan.
Exactly. But they say it's just a loft thing, and that seems to bother her, and Schmidt clicks away, because now suddenly we can hear his feet.
I know.
Even though we've never been able to before.
Oh, that was so stupid.
So Nick and Jess establish in the car a safe word, which is going to be either apricot or dragon slippers. It's never really decided for sure.
Like dragon slippers come. At least apricot could come up. I like apricots.
Yeah, I feel hungry for an apricot.
I guess you could say I own dragon slippers.
Sure.
Yeah.
Then he tells Jess when they're walking up to the house not to call him Nick, to call him Julius Pepperwood. He's using, like, army signals.
Was he in the army?
No, he was just, like, or police officer signals.
Okay.
And then we find out that Edgar lives with his mother because we see an older woman come out to throw the trash out.
Does he?
They start to yell apricots and they see that Edgar comes home. And he's dragging a very heavy, large bag into a shed that looks like it could potentially be a body.
Disturbing.
And Jess is like, oh my God, you were right. And even in the middle of it, instead of like moving on for like, felt like forever, Nick just kept asking her to say that again. Say I was right. Say I was right over and over again. And that's when her phone rings with a ringtone to the song. I'm so excited.
Yeah, that was darling.
It's Edgar who's calling her from the shed. And they run away, except for she rolls under the van to run away. Such a silly scene, but wasn't it fun?
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of, like, an I Love Lucy episode. Mm-hmm. Old school, what do you call it? Like, body humor, but not, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Slapstick.
Mm, okay, yeah.
Yes.
Well, I like when they're trying humor. To... Jess is trying to decode his hand signals. And
yeah.
She's like, will you left stop hand using turn, these SWAT right sign languages?
Yeah.
To me, that's bicycle left turn.
Yeah.
Not a SWAT sign.
And even he knows, he goes, I think this means stop. Like,
as he's trying to do it.
And I like how he puts his hat on backwards when he's ready to get like really serious.
Yes.
So we're back at the loft. And Jess comes in, and she's about to tell them that Nick was right. But before she does, she says to Schmidt, what happened to your eyebrows? You look like Audrey Hepburn.
I didn't even catch it.
Winston is cutting his nails.
Oh, I thought Winston was giving him a pedi.
Oh, same thing.
No, he's cutting his nails. Not with toenail clippers, but with, like, shrub cuts.
Yeah. And Winston's, like, concentrating.
So gross. And that's when the idea of pogos comes up, and Cece and Jess want to know their pogos, but Jess tells Cece it's a loft thing, which makes her disappointed again.
It's mean.
And finally it comes out that Jess's pogo is that she's a know-it-all, which she immediately responds to, oh, I know it all. I know more than, oh, I'm being a know-it-all. Cece tries to act like she's being a smartass and asks if that's her pogo, and they ignore her. And we find out that Nick's pogo is very serious. They're all very worried about him because he doesn't take care of himself.
Well, that's legit.
Yes. I like how they crush vitamins into his food.
That was so funny.
And stick money in his pants before they go in the dryer.
I wish somebody did that to me.
I was about to say, I love when I find money in the dryer. It doesn't happen often. So Nick says, Pogo's out. Loft dynamic ruined. And that's when Cece does. This is like my least favorite Cece moment ever. Her baby voice.
Oh, that was awful.
And asks if that's her Pogo, which she's never done before. So I don't know why that would be her Pogo. Please tell
me it does not come back.
I don't think so. I don't know.
Good.
So now Nick goes to Edgar's on his own. And he sees that inside his shed, he has drawings of a girl and a deer with giant eyes. That reminds him of Jess. So he calls Jess and says, Edgar wants to kill you. But she's sitting in office hours. And
with Edgar.
Before she could leave.
Yeah.
Edgar comes in. So she starts screaming, apricots, apricots. Oh, I have a deaf grocer. Apricots and butter. Nick falls off the ladder and through the window. Jess is acting super weird with Edgar. Edgar said he's found his ending and that he based a character off of her and the character needs to die because it needs to be a shocking ending. And while this is happening, Nick is trying to call her. The ringtone goes off and Edgar recognizes that Jess was at his house and thinks she's crazy. And Nick gets hit over the head with a frying pan by who we think at the time is Edgar's mom.
Right.
So it's a tough scene to describe.
Absolutely thought that.
Oh, for sure. No, I did not see that coming at all. Mm. What comes later that we don't know about yet. Okay, so in the next scene, we have Nick trying to wake up. And Edgar say to his mom, this isn't a burglar. It's Julius Pepperwood from Chicago. And
you wouldn't be like, you'd just be like, it's my friend Julius.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jess comes in trying to save Nick and says, if you kill him, you kill me. And ends up getting pepper sprayed.
Oh, that was funny.
So when we're all outside the shed, we find out it's a big misunderstanding. Edgar's just not good at drawing eyes, so he draws giant circles. They ask what was in the duffel bag, and the mom says, don't ask about the duffel bag, bitch.
Ooh, yeah, don't ask about it.
Edgar says, I just did such a good job because you're such a good teacher. And she says, well, you're a great student. Your son, you should be so proud of him. And they both get very offended. And we find out they're a couple. Ew, gross.
Don't assume.
Don't
assume.
And we're back at the loft. Nick's making himself breakfast. He's up early. The breakfast he's chosen is bacon, and he's adding half the container of butter to it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was so funny because they were just before that, they were just talking about his health.
Exactly.
And unhealthy. All that. Then she walks out to see him cooking bacon.
Already unhealthy.
And then he's adding the butter, and she's like, is that butter you're adding to bacon? Yeah. He goes, yeah, I don't want it to stick to the pan.
That's just what bacon needs, more fat.
Yeah. Maybe it was turkey bacon. We don't know.
I doubt it.
And then he adds salt, and she's like, oh, yeah. More salt.
It's like the saltiest food in the world.
Yeah.
So Jess doesn't correct him because she doesn't want to be a know-it-all, and that's when she sees he started his new book, Julius Pepperwood, Zombie Detective.
He loves zombies.
And we find out there's a character in there, his girl Friday, named Jessica Knight. So cute.
So cute.
That's when a fire starts from all the butter in the pan, and they spray it with water, which Jess doesn't stop them, even though you can't put out a grease fire with water.
She did have to yell that finally.
Eventually, yeah. But she was trying to avoid all the
because he's like, why didn't you tell me that before? She goes, I don't want to be a know-it-all. Yeah. I'd rather see the loft burn down.
Exactly.
And let them, like, reinforce their pogo.
Yeah.
And that concludes the recap. Let's get into our Jess favorite look. If you don't mind, I'll go first.
Go for it.
Because it's my favorite dress that Jess wears. I don't want to say the whole show, but I feel like it's definitely in my top three. I don't know what it is about the blue dress with, like, the little, like, people on it.
It's cute.
It's just so cute. I don't like that she wore tights with it. That didn't make sense to me.
Black tights.
It's a summer dress.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
She has to fly underneath the van and crawl.
Oh.
And so I think they must have thought, okay, this isn't working. We have to put tights on her. But I thought that was just, it's just such a cute dress. And there's this, I can't remember the name of it, but there's an account on Instagram where she literally finds and then buys all the pieces that Jess wore, all the dresses that weren't custom made, obviously. And she has that dress, and I'm so jealous of her because I love that dress.
Oh, so it's not in her contract to own the dresses?
No.
Okay.
She's not buying the dresses that were specifically on Jess. I'm saying she's like, okay, a season 2, episode 5, she wore this dress. She figures out what brand it is, orders one for herself, whether it be from a new place or a thrift shop or finds it secondhand.
And like then, you see on the internet all the time when they go, oh, the vice president's wife wore a $7,000 dress.
You can get it.
And then
for
they'll
30.
Show, yeah, they'll yes. show it on Amazon. Like she could have paid 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what?
But then,
who's bored that much that they go online, right? Search all that.
There's bored
but
people.
But subsequently, you can buy clothes that the actors actually wore on the show.
Oh.
There's not a lot of Jess's. I would just imagine because they're gone by now. But there's like a lot of Nick hoodies. Like you can either buy one. This was in an episode and will come with a certificate that shows you like what episode and maybe
oh,
like a picture. And then there's other ones like, you know, Nick's shoes that were just in his room or Jess's
Schmidt's
bobby
lightning
pin
bolt
holder.
Suit.
Right.
His lightning bolt suit must be out
well,
there.
Well, I would imagine oh, Max sure. Greenfield took that home because yeah. I mean, well, the uses for that are endless.
And the reason... Excuse me, the reason why I asked that question is sometimes actresses such as Rue McClanahan in Golden Girls have it written into their contract mm-hmm. that they can keep the clothes. Because mm-hmm. a lot of those clothes are custom for them.
Reese Witherspoon did that with shoes for the Legally Blonde movies.
Oh, good thinking,
I know.
Reese.
You could have probably just made salary in that.
Yeah.
Joe, what was your favorite Jess look?
The blue dress. I mean, that's all she was in this episode.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, she was in pajamas, but they were just regular
blue pajamas.
She wore a blue
sweater.
Yeah.
And Heather, what about you?
Yeah, I thought the blue sundress was adorable. But my favorite part, and I don't know if other people notice this, is that she's carrying her purse is the kind of purse you wear to a wedding. Or like
a clutch?
A prom. Yeah, it's a clutch with a string on it, which is, it's my exact purse that I wear to weddings. They're very tiny. They only hold like your lipstick and your driver's license. Did you notice that?
I didn't. No.
And it is, for whatever reason, on her, that purse with that dress is absolutely adorable.
It's very cute, yeah.
And also, I thought that the dress that Jess chose to wear was foreshadowing that she actually wants to be an elementary school teacher because mm-hmm. that's a dress. You wouldn't wear that to adult school.
Yeah.
You really would. It's cute, but you wouldn't wear it.
Sure. I don't know where you'd wear it. If I owned it, I don't know where I'd wear it. I just want to have
in
it.
In the summer. It's
yes,
a summer dress.
Oh, yeah. It's a good... But she was wearing it in winter, but it's L.A.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
right now, you're wearing shorts.
It's kind of like the summer, yeah.
Right. And then also, I wrote this down. So in the last scene, she's wearing like a green dress with a lavender sweater. Do they show the bottom of that?
They just show from here up. It had like a brown belt on it. I know I wanted to see it.
Yeah. And it was similar to the cut mm-hmm. of her blue dress.
It was very cute.
Yeah. So that may have been my favorite and I don't know it.
Okay. So best dress for this episode, I'm of course giving to Jess in the blue dress, but I'm going to give a nod to Julius Pepperwood for his look. Joe, who was your best dress character for this week?
Julius Pepperwood.
Okay. Nice. Okay, yeah. I went in a totally different direction, you guys. I gave it to Jess's purse, which I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Also, everybody, I don't even need to say this. Everybody's going to know what I'm about to say. Cece's robe, because that's her Blanche Devereaux from Golden Girls robe. And then finally, something we didn't see. What? Jess says, no one has a gimp costume. And mm-hmm. Schmidt goes, I do. You've seen it.
Yeah. But I don't remember the gimp costume.
Well, I don't think we've seen it. We don't see everything that happens.
But the way he says it, too, it's just awesome.
Joe, your best dress character was Julia. Sorry. So that brings us to a favorite Schmidt moment. I didn't actually write one down. It wasn't a really big Schmidt episode for me. Heather?
These are my notes. Not my favorite episode underlined. And then I put, it's Schmidt's face when he has the eyebrows and Winston wakes up.
Yeah.
Because I thought.
That actually is good.
It was the first time I laughed aloud in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And also I thought, imagine waking up to that.
No.
Yeah. And I thought Lamorne stayed pretty calm.
Never go to sleep again. I think he's used to them. Joe, favorite Schmidt moment?
Well, I don't know what he was talking about. But he said they shed like a $4 Christmas sweater.
Oh, the models.
That's why because her thing was backed up. Yeah, her shower drain was backed up. That's why she had to go over to that house.
The plumbing was out.
Why
do
they shed?
Well, he was saying because
they have long hair. Models have all
long
hair.
I think he was saying because like they're like super unhealthy because they try and be skinny is what he was saying.
I was like, are they implying an eating disorder? But I didn't know if I read into that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a zero on the jar count, but a $1 count on the annoyance bowl. One and last dollar on that. That will bring us to our favorite or funniest moment. Mine is 100% Pepperwood. Every part of Pepperwood.
Okay.
Joe, favorite or funniest moment overall?
Yeah, I'd say the introduction. I like that. And then at the end when Nick said, you don't know anything about, I don't tell you everything. Like, I haven't done laundry in 6 months.
Oh, that was funny.
I don't have any underwear on. Yeah. I just have a sock.
Oh, like
a big sock. She's like, yeah, I know what you mean, Nick.
Yeah, that was a great scene from last week's episode.
It was?
Yeah.
That was the end of this episode.
I know. That was when they were had that heartwarming moment, the two of them talking about Nick's dad and how he's a little broken. And that's
it was so good. Yeah. I remembered it last week. Really? It's been a week.
It's been a whole week and it's all new.
Yeah. I remember that.
Heather, what was your favorite or funniest moment?
Okay, once again, I didn't even realize I did this, but I wrote, not my favorite episode. But when I go to my favorite or funniest moment, I usually choose it based on what made me react out loud.
Mm.
So my reaction out loud was finding out that the serial killer wasn't the mom, was with the mom. She wasn't his mom. She was his girl.
So gross.
So gross. But I went, oh.
So now it's time to pass out our Honey Roast Award. Joe, who are you giving a Honey Roast Award to this week?
Oh,
Excuse me.
Yeah, it has to be Nick. From everything from writers don't read, we write.
Yeah. Strong episode for Jake.
To, you know, I'm an ex-cop, ex-marine.
Right.
Deep dish pizza or nothing.
That was funny.
You know, so, I think the whole thing. And I like the one part where Jess slides under the van
and
comes up on the other side. He's like, what are you doing? You have all kinds of room over here. Why'd you go under
and
the van?
And her face is so dirty.
Yeah. That was funny. And her hair's a little bit messy, too.
Heather, who are you going to give the Honey Roast Award to?
Interestingly, Joe and I made the same choice.
You guys are such Jake Johnson fans now.
No, I'm not. Well, I mean, because I'm obsessed with Schmidt. Uh-huh.
So who is your Honey Roast Award?
Well, Jake was my Honey Roast Award because of stunt work.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Julius Pepperwood came to life before my eyes.
He did.
Yeah.
So I gave the Honey Roast Award to Julius Pepperwood.
Oh!
Because he's an ex-cop, ex-marine who came to a writing class.
Yeah.
I just thought that makes him interesting. Did either of you catch the bear in this episode? I did. Joe, did you catch the bear?
The bear? No, I saw a deer, but no bear.
Okay.
Heather, do you think you caught the bear?
Yeah, I know I did because Schmidt said watching Bears game. Yes. The Bears game.
And during the Pogo conversation, he says that Winston's penis changed the channel during a Bears game.
Oh, that's what he was saying. Yeah. I didn't write that part down.
Okay, that brings us to discussion questions. Heather, would you like to go first?
Yes. I just have two questions today. Have you and your friends ever, like, had a pogo on your other friend? Like, your friend?
So, have we ever had pogos with our friends?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think everyone talks about their friends when they're not around, even though you're not supposed to. I'm not going to share examples.
You're not going to give an
my
example.
My friends listen. So.
Now, Joe, you're so nice.
My friends mostly have them on me, and... They tease
I think they tell
me,
you them.
But they're true, you know, like I used to work at a baseball stadium and there'd be a busy, busy time when everyone's coming through the gates and that's when they all eat. So the lines are like 30 long and I'd always go by and say, code red, meaning all the lines, everybody's got to get
like,
in there.
Like we know it's code red.
Yeah. And every time they go by me, code red Joe, and I'm like, yeah.
We actually pogoed Joe because of, but I've told Joe this before, his hair. So you could tell how many people were at a game based on Joe's hair. So if you looked at Joe's hair and it looks like it does right now, I'd be like, oh, it's a slow night. It must be a Monday, like a crowd of 1,000. But if Joe's hair was like all scrunched up like this and all over the place and messy, because he goes like this.
Oh, he goes like
so then, then you knew it was a bad night because he's obviously touched his hair 1,000 times and he had like a fro.
Do you have a headache, Joe?
Yeah.
No, it's like a nervous. Like, oh, you do it too.
Okay. Oh, I do.
Yeah.
Plus, you're just running around. You're on the fryers. You're on the grill.
When were you on the fryers?
Just everything. Just, you just had to do what you had to do, you know?
Well, you're a good person, Joe, because you're a hilarious person, which is awesome. And then you don't get mad if people laugh.
Yeah.
You're just
when he tells a joke.
The stereotypes to me are
funny stuff.
Yeah, the stereotypes for me are true. And that, yeah. And that's what you gotta recognize. That's when you gotta say
fun of yourself.
No, that is funny. Because you gotta keep it lighthearted. You can't take it to heart, you know. And
right.
I mean, my hair looks good today because I use Brazilian blowout shampoo.
Ooh.
So I've had a Brazilian
blowout.
Why
don't you explain that a little deeper? Because you're staying at your daughter's house.
Oh, yeah. And she had Brazilian blowout shampoo.
Okay.
The shampoo you can get that makes it like a blowout. So today I've had a blowout.
Should I take a picture and post it for everybody on Instagram?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm going to.
You
know,
yeah. You can tell it's blown out.
No,
yeah.
You can't. Actually, I do want to tell a story about Joe because it's so funny. So when Joe would get like super stressed out and after like kind of scattered and like be all over the place, and it was the busiest night of the year, which is the 4th of July, so the biggest game at the ballpark every year. And I had, this is my friends that I brought like to our relationship, like who I had from high school, favorite story about Joe. So I got all my friends to work there, like pouring beer or like doing little side stuff for Joe so they could make some money and they'd be around. And my friend Amy was getting ready to set up the beer cart. And like, it's such a stressful time. I can't even explain to you. You just have to have experienced it to know it. And you used to have to cut off beer sales at the 7th inning or at a certain time. So, you know, like just like at a bar. And so people had time to sober up before they drove. And so she gets on the walkie-talkie to Joe and she says, Joe, when should I stop pouring beer? Like, you know, what inning is what she meant.
Right.
And she said, when should I stop pouring beer? And he got on the walkie and said, when the cup's full. Running around all crazy, but then took a moment for that, what he thought was a hilarious joke.
That's what I thought, what I call classic Joe.
Classic
Joe. Yeah.
Or even vintage Joe.
Yeah, because everyone's in a fray and all crazy. And as the leader, you got to be like, oh, I got to break this up a little bit.
You
just say, when the cup is full. And the thing is, the whole staff can hear it.
Right.
Yeah, even if you're not on that conversation. But no one laughed harder than Joe.
Oh, I love that. Well, and the thing is, Joe, I've been around you in not work, but stressful situations, and you have a gift for bringing that humor and,
yes.
and just calming it down.
This,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the baseball team used to be on Channel 1, and we'd be on Channel 2. And then the promotions team, the head of it, his name was Rob, I won't say last name, he used to say, Joe,
don't.
We used to switch over to Channel 2
just to listen
to you.
Oh, I would sit with him when he'd do that. And he'd be sitting in the dugout. He's like, let's hear what Joe's up to.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
Yeah.
I would do that.
Because, like, if I saw something that was out of sorts, I wouldn't reprimand that person on the radio, like, in a bad way. I would kind of, you can call it passive-aggressive, but
yeah,
I call it passive-funny. So I'd be passive-funny and just be like, oh, look at Joe enjoying his time off in the middle of the 5th inning when everything goes crazy. He looks really comfortable in that chair, guys. Make sure you say hi when you go by.
Oh, that's
You know,
because
he shouldn't be, then he'd be like, oh, I shouldn't be sitting.
Right.
Rather than going, hey, get up, what are you doing?
Oh,
you know,
you can't put someone
yeah,
on that.
Yeah, just be a funny thing and stuff like that.
You're always kind. Even in jokes, you're kind.
I don't remember what the question was, but Heather, did you have an answer?
Yes. Okay, so
Pogo.
I try, like, if I have a pogo, it's never about appearance. I just try to keep it, you know, not mean. But I
love pogo.
I live for pogos.
Yeah.
In college, this is funny because it was a pogo, like, that I didn't share with anyone because I didn't want to be mean. But my friend, she would never, and mind you, this is before the internet, okay? And she would always say, I don't know. I don't want to keep using that word. Let me look it up in the thesaurus instead of thesaurus. So it was a joke. It was a joke with myself. And I go, can you get me? Not the dictionary. Oh, the thesaurus. And then I'd be like,
really dating yourself, because I don't even have a friend who's a
thesaurus.
I don't
even know what a thesaurus is anymore.
It has a
it's
book
like
that has
synonyms.
Yeah, instead of definitions.
Oh,
like
yeah.
You look up cute and it would have pretty, beautiful.
Because when you're writing a paper, you don't want to say pretty 100 times.
So you use other
thesaurus
words. Yeah, that mean the same thing. Yeah.
Pleasant on the eye.
Did you have a second discussion question?
I did. Have you guys ever, this is a friend question too, but this one goes to Nick and Jess, like, ever been legit worried that something was going to happen to your friend and you have to keep, like, telling them, like, this is going to happen. You're going to get serial killed.
No, but one time I told Joe he was having a stroke when I was in California and he was in Arizona.
Joe stroke.
Sorry, I wasn't mad at you. I was just mad remembering.
No, I didn't think you were mad at me.
Yeah, that's good times when you're all the way in another state. You have to say to someone, sounds kind of like you're having a stroke, pal. No, I just can't feel half my body and I'm really tired. I'm going to take a nap.
And she had gone to work in the morning.
Well, let's not dive too deep into the stroke story. Yeah.
The main thing is Joe's very healthy now, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I don't think I've had to worry about serial killers, my friends. Good. But, I mean, I do have friends who are prone to tickets all the time for speeding and stuff like that. And
just dangerous behavior.
With no consequences. Because he drives through like three states, so he'll get a ticket one time in California, one time in Nevada, one time in Arizona.
That's not good.
Yeah, but... they never add up because it's like one in one state, one another, one another. Right. So he gets like all his points are spread out between states.
Yeah, that's funny.
But I try to have friends that don't have serial killers after them. You
that's
know what
good.
I'm saying?
That's a good quality of friends.
Yeah.
Have you had a friend you had to protect, Heather?
Well, the problem with me is every week I watch 2020. I tape Dateline. I watch all these things. So I start to think people are getting serial killed when they're not.
That sounds
so great. My one friend, one time, I have more than one friend. This one friend of mine went... she liked this guy, and he asked her out for their first date, and the first date was hiking. So in my mind, I thought he took her there to serial kill her.
Oh, that's a big jump.
Yeah, but he didn't do it. And then also, besides that, I haven't done too much serial killer stuff, but okay. I have been like, oh, that person's going to break your heart, or that person's shady.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can only say that so many times.
You almost can't even say it.
Well, you can say it once to get it off your chest.
Depending on the friend.
Or
yeah.
Also, you can't say it unless they ask.
Yeah. Joe, did you have a discussion question?
For this, no, I think mine was pretty much the same as hers about pogos.
Mm-hmm.
So... probably not. She already took it.
Okay. My question's similar but different. Oh. Have you ever been in a situation where you were, like, being stalked or someone scared you or, like, a crazy experience like that? While you think on it, I'll share mine. And I don't think I've ever told anybody the story.
Whoa.
No, I mean, nothing.
Damn, listeners.
Nothing, like, scary happened to me. But when I worked at the – I don't mean to keep talking about the baseball stadium. But when I worked at the baseball stadium, I did the on-field promotion. So I was, like, very – visible to everybody, so sometimes I would go places and like, oh, you're that girl from the stadium, or like 2 years ago this guy stopped me and was like, you gave me free tickets anywhere Southwest Airlines flies, thank you so much. And I'm like, I really didn't do anything for you, like I just showed up to work that day, someone else had arranged that. And it was fun, and
so
I really enjoyed
it. It's a positive thing.
Yes. Yeah. But this one time I was running up the aisle, and there's like a group of people my age, I was in college, and they're like, can you take a picture with our friend? Like, he's like obsessed with you. And I was like, I don't really take pictures with people. That's kind of weird. And he's like, no, he comes to all the games. Like, he's just in love with you. He thinks you're so cool. It would mean a lot to him. Like, we all came here, like, just to ask you to do this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. So I took a picture of this strange guy, and he was like, oh, can I get your phone number? Oh, and I was like, oh, I have a boyfriend, which I didn't, because I thought, this is weird.
That's the greatest excuse.
Then, like, a year later, our baseball team had a promotion with Domino's at the local college at Cal State San Bernardino, where if someone made like a half court shot, they got free pizza for a year. But one of us had to be there to tape it in case it happened so we could prove it to Domino's. And so they also had me work the table, like signing people up. And this guy walks up to me with this crazy look on his face. And he's like, oh, my God, I can't believe you're here. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. Do I know you? And he's like, no, you don't know me. But, like, I used to just go to all the 66er games to see you. And I'm like, oh, God, this is seeming really familiar. And I'm totally by myself. And we're in, like, the game started. And I'm in, like, the hallway where people walk in.
Oh, no.
He's like, can I get your number or something? Like, I just think you're so great. Like, I can't believe we're finally meeting again like this. And I'm like, I have no cell phone. This is a long time ago. So I'm like, oh, I'm working, like, and you're just, like, really unprofessional, and I'm going to get in trouble. So I'm packing up after, like, he followed me in after the three-court shot, and he goes, oh, I'm going to walk you to your car. And I'm like, no, I'm okay. I don't need you to walk my car. And he walked me all the way to my car, and I was like, can you please get away from me? Like, it wasn't, like, someone just hitting on me. It was
just
weird.
No, it was, like, disturbing.
Yeah. And
how come I've never heard this?
Just like it sounds like a big deal now, but it wasn't like a big deal. I was in college. Stupid stuff happened all the time.
Yeah, stupid stuff happened.
That's my Julius Pepperwood story / Edgar.
Good story.
You have one, Joe.
where someone actually stalked me.
I mean, just like a scary encounter. Yeah.
No, guys, really, we don't get scary encounters, really.
Yeah, that's, I can see
not
that
the same way.
Yeah, because, I mean, girls don't scare me, so I don't really scared by them. And really, I don't have any guy friends that would scare me or strangers.
No. Yeah, your friends are look, shit.
I sold hot dogs and beer for a living for many years, so people love me.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
and you're going to have an ice cream store, so.
Yeah.
Did you have any experiences like that, Heather?
Yeah.
That you want to share?
One, you already know. Well, actually, you know both of these. I worked at a store in college, and this guy, I worked with him 8 hours a day, and I worked with him for an 8 hour day, and I came home and I was watching Melrose Place.
Mm, that's a good show.
And it was like late and our doorbell rang and it was him. So he got my address off my application.
Ew.
And then he asked me out, and then I was like, you had 8 hours to do this. So it was really weird. Mm-hmm. And then another time, I don't know why, but like I got this feeling he was, cause our power was out and I knew he was going to call me.
I know what you're talking about.
And so we turned off every light in the house.
We're home alone.
And we laid on the floor and so we could look out, and then his Camaro went by.
Yeah, as a stakeout.
Yeah, it was our stakeout.
I think about that all the time.
Which actually, we had some of our best conversations
in it
that.
Was a fun stakeout.
It was a fun
stakeout. Not to be there for that story, but it was special. This question is more a segue into next week's episode, which is how excited are you guys to watch and discuss Cooler?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I mean, it's another,
It's like the biggest episode to New Girl fans, mostly. I don't understand why it doesn't resonate with you two the way it does.
No, not to me. There's episodes I love.
Maybe it'll resonate next week when we watch it.
Maybe it will, hopefully.
It's still a week away.
I think that the way I feel is that it's standing in between me and my favorite episode. So I'm just like, let me get to my favorite episode. And that's my favorite episode, not of the season, of the series.
The one after Cooler?
It's either one or two after Cooler.
Okay.
Oh.
Is it Cece's wedding?
No.
Which one's your favorite episode?
Schmidt and Nick friendship party.
Oh, Tinfinity. Yeah, that's just a couple after.
Yeah.
Okay, so that wraps up our discussion for this week. We will see you next week for Cooler, which me and everyone on Instagram at least is excited for.
Oh, okay.
Have a great
week. We'll make the best of it.
Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.